such an a burden, such a pressure people feel from the daily work. Got to do this, got to do that. And it doesn't seem to stop, right? And once you finish doing this, then you got to do that. And we have all kinds of pressure. And because we have pressure, so you want to relax somehow. You want to have some kind of way to go away from all the pressure and to feel closer to who you are, right? The question, though, is when you look for that, are you going to the right place? Are you going to the right place to find that? There's a old joke, humor me. These two guys go to a doctor, Yankel and Shmerl. Yankel goes to the doctor, and doctor examines Yankel's leg. He has pulling his leg and pushing his leg, and Yankel's screaming, stop, stop, stop. The doctor's pulling, and I didn't need to know where the pain is. I need to know. Josh, want to put the fans on, Josh? Fans are on that thing over there. And Shmerl's like, and Yankel's is forget it. Thank you so much. Thank you. So the doctor says, I'm sorry I need to do this to you, and Yankel's screaming his head off. He's in such pain. The doctor examines Shmerl's leg, and he does the same thing, pulling and pushing and schlepping, and Shmerl's completely relaxed, fine. And the doctor says, wow, I'm so impressed. You know, you have such self-control. Can't believe this. This is amazing how much more self-control you have. This is really, really special thing. It's inspiring to me. I've never seen this before in a patient, such control. And when the doctor leaves, Yankel asks Shmerl, how'd you do that? Shmerl said, you think I'm like crazy like you? I showed him the healthy leg. So I don't show him the leg, that's a problem. So, yeah, sorry, it's an old one. Anyway, so... So we have an answer for this emptiness we sometimes feel and for the pressure that we go through in this week's Torah portion. This week, read the last section of the book of Exodus, and the very last verse says this, that whenever the Jewish people traveled, the cloud of Hashem was on top of the tabernacle. Whenever we traveled, the cloud was on top of the mobile temple as we traveled. Now, the question is this. The cloud wasn't on top of the temple when we traveled. Whenever we traveled, the cloud rose. Why does it say the cloud was on top of the temple and it wasn't? When we camped, the cloud came on top of the temple. When we traveled, actually the sign that it was time to travel was because the cloud rose up. So why does it say the cloud was on top of the temple whenever we traveled? So the answer is, Rashi says, that even when we stop, even when we stopped in one place, although we stopped, it wasn't considered like something other than the journey. Although we went to one place, and we camped there, and we stayed there for a week, and for a month, and for a year, for 10 years, that place we camped is also called a part of the journey forward. The place we camped is called part of the journey. To understand this, we have to understand a little bit more about these journeys. These journeys we read about in the Torah, the journeys the Torah discusses, aren't just journeys about the past. The Torah is in the history book. So the Baal Shem Tov says that just like the Jewish people had 42 journeys from Egypt to Israel, so too in history there are 42 journeys from Egypt until Mashiach comes. And just like there are 42 journeys in history, there are 42 journeys in everyone's life. And the Baal Shem Tov says further, in every single day, there are also 42 journeys. There are 42 journeys every single day. So whenever we travel, Torah says, although you may camp somewhere, you have to know the place you camp is also part of the journey. What does that mean? First of all, why do we have to camp in the first place? Why do we have to stop? When the Jewish people were traveling, they had bread coming down from heaven. They had water coming out of a rock. So there was a lot of miracles Hashem did to help us on the journey. So what's the point of stopping to relax? What's the meaning of we have to stop to relax? I mean, we didn't need to stop to go to the dry cleaners. We put our clothing into the clouds and came out. It was clean. There wasn't even any of those tickets. You have to take off, and it was just great. You know, like right Friday evening, right before Shabbos, they take the tickets off, and you remember it didn't take off. Right before Shabbos, you put your clothing into the cloud. You have to watch some cartoons to understand how it worked a little bit. Anyway, so and the clothing grew with them. So there's a lot of miracles. What was the point of stopping? Why did they have to stop? There's actually an amazing teaching of the Orach Chaim. Oh, Vitaly liked the Orach Chaim. Orach Chaim says this. Oh, Avram Shalom Aleichem. It says in a pasuk, Hashem says, Zacharti lo chesed nuraich. I remember the love of your youth. What was the love of your youth? Lechtech achrei b'midbar. You went after me in the desert. I remember how you followed me. You had no idea how it was going to work. And you went out into the desert and you followed me. Hashem said, I remember that when you, in your youth, meaning when we just became the Jewish people, left Egypt. Hashem said, I remember that. I remember how you left Egypt and you followed me into the desert. Rechaim says it's deeper. It's not easy being married to someone spontaneous. I know because I'm spontaneous. And people aren't spontaneous. You know, it takes a lot of love to be connected to someone spontaneous. What happened when the Jewish people were in the desert and they stayed in one place, right? How do they know when it was time to go? How do you know it was time to go? The cloud would rise. When would the cloud rise? The cloud would rise whenever Hashem said so. When would he say so? You never knew. So you're coming with your five kids, and the cloud stops. All right, we're stopping over here. You take all the kids' shoes off. You pitch your tent, and then all of a sudden, later on that day, the cloud goes up again. Time to go. Time to go. Time in the middle of the day. Time to go. And sometimes you arrive at night. You go to sleep. You wake up. Time to go. And sometimes you were there for a year. Sometimes you're there for 10 years. They were in Kaddish for how long? For 18 years in Kaddish?
19.
Huh? 19 years in Kaddish. Thank you, Ezra. So sometimes you have no idea. So the Orach Chaim says that's the love the Jewish people displayed to Hashem, following Hashem, not just going into the desert, but being ready to go in a moment's notice whenever Hashem said to go. So that tells us something about the stopping. It tells us that we weren't stopping in order to get strength to go on the journey. If the purpose of stopping was to rest, right? So then if we had like a two-week journey, we would have like a three-day rest. If it was a five-day journey, we'd have a two-day, it would be commensurate to like how strenuous the journey was, that's how long we would rest. But instead, it's not how it worked. It didn't go by that system. So what system did it go by? What was the purpose of stopping? It wasn't to get physical strength. Physical strength, and why you all of a sudden you're arrive with your kids, take their shoes off, put the shoes back on. Oh my gosh, it's a nightmare. So what's the purpose of the stopping? It wasn't a physical resting. What was it then? It was a spiritual resting. It was the idea of Hashem wants a person not just to function and move and push. Most important thing is how we feel ourselves, how we feel. And you have a time where you're not just doing and doing and doing and doing, but you're stopping. And you're connecting to your family. Hi, you're connecting to your Hashem, and you're connecting to yourself. And Hashem gives us that gift, this ability to. He gives us a time to rest, not just to physically rest, but emotionally, psychologically, intellectually, to actually connect to who we really are. When is that time Hashem gives us? When is that time? That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the time Hashem gives us. So when the Jewish people traveled, they had a time they had to stop. Why they had to stop? They had to absorb all the spiritual things that were happening to them. They saw the bread come down from heaven. They drank from the rock of Miriam. And they had to have a time to like absorb whatever they were experiencing. The purpose of their resting wasn't just to gain strength to go on their journey. It was about spiritual connecting with all they experienced. So that's also the meaning of Put it away for a couple minutes. That's also the meaning of the gift of Shabbos. What's the purpose of the Shabbos? Everything Hashem gives us, every mitzvah Hashem gives us, has also a spiritual blessing. Besides, we do this, whatever Hashem tells us, because Hashem said so. Besides this, Hashem gives us a gift with every single mitzvah. So regarding Shabbos, it says that Shabbos had no soulmate. What does that mean?
No wife.
Shabbos is the odd day of the week. Sunday, says the Talmud, is married to Monday. And Tuesday is married to Wednesday. And Thursday is married to Friday. But Shabbos is the odd day of the week. So Shabbos says to Hashem, I can't find a shidduch. I can't find a soulmate. Hashem says, I have someone else who can't find the shidduch. The Jewish people. There's no other nation in the world that gets along with them. I have a good shidduch for you. You and the Jewish people will be soulmates. Okay? So Hashem gave his gift to us. But what does that mean? We're soulmates with the Shabbos. What does that mean? A soulmate means that you have half of your soul, and your soul meets the other half of your soul. You are one. You're one. The Zohar says Shabbos is called the day of the soul. Shabbos is called the day when Hashem reveals Himself to us. When do we feel Hashem's presence with us, next to us, involved in our lives? When do we feel the connection to Hashem? When is it revealed? When do we know? When do we feel Jewish the most?
Every Friday.
We feel the most Jewish on Shabbos. Shabbos is when we feel ourselves. What does it mean to feel ourselves? Let's bring this down a little bit. The Zohar says, Rabbi Yehuda says, if we would know how much God loved us, we would run after Him, says the Zohar. Don't demonstrate this, Josh. Like so we would scream like young lion cubs. We would scream.
Oh, I do that perfectly.
We would scream and run after Hashem like young lion cubs, like Kfirin. What does that mean? What's this love about? So it says in Song of Songs, "Libavtani ba'achas me'enacha." You've drawn. Rashi says, "What does libavtani ba'achas me'enacha mean?" Literally means you've caused me to love you with one of your eyes. Rashi says, "Your heart has drawn my heart with one of your eyes." What does it mean with one of your eyes? Sometimes when you daven, you're into it, right? Sometimes it happens. You daven and you're like you like it. You're into it. You're excited about it. Sometimes you're davening and you don't even realize. Oh, I'm up to Hayom Yom. What day of the week is it? Oh, it's Wednesday. Okay, it's Thursday. So I knew that. Anyways, so sometimes you're really into what you're doing. Sometimes you're like, why am I even doing this? I'm not into it. What's the point of doing this? You're not into it. So is there a point of doing something you're not into? So Hashem says, you've drawn my heart with one of your eyes, even though one of your eyes is on me and the other eye is somewhere else. Hashem says, I melt for you. I melt. Just because one of your eyes is on me. It even says that, what's the meaning of one of your eyes? Imagine a chatan and kala, a groom and the bride, at their canopy, at their wedding canopy, at their chuppah, the bride is already interested in someone else. Imagine that. Which is why it's so foolish, as Rebbe once said about how they make these dances with everyone at the wedding. It's like so ridiculous. The whole point of wedding, a marriage is fidelity of the husband and wife. And yet, at the wedding, they make this dance of the kala and the chasen dance to everybody else. Whatever, it's a different subject. But the point is, imagine the kala getting interested in someone else at the wedding. That's what we did at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, we're at Mount Sinai, and with one eye, we're at Hashem's, we're looking to Hashem, and right afterwards, at the golden calf. So Hashem knows this, and even though just one eye on Him and the other eye's on the golden calf, Hashem says, I melt, libavtani, you've drawn my heart to you with just one of your eyes. So, there was a man who made a lot of mistakes in his life, and he made a great effort to come closer to his Judaism, and he came to the Rebbe for a private audience. He had a request. People have all kinds of requests that come to the Rebbe. What was his request? People want a blessing for a shidduch. People want a blessing for a child. People want a blessing for money. People want all kinds of blessings people want to ask the Rebbe. You know what his blessing he wanted? He wanted to die. He wanted to die because he was so bitter, so upset about everything he did in his life. So he wanted to die. And he poured his heart, I don't know what to do. The Rebbe said to him something very fascinating. The Rebbe said to him like this. In general, when the Rebbe spoke, he didn't speak in a sing-song. Unless he was giving a Hasidic discourse, then he would speak in a sing-song. And this audience, the Rebbe looked at him and the Rebbe told him the following in a sing-song. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says Hashem creates the world, not just 5,000 years ago, but every moment Hashem creates the world. And the Alter Rebbe says it's logical that Hashem has to recreate the world every second. Why is it logical? Whenever you make a major change in something, the change of the nature of something, there has to be a force keeping that thing going in that direction. So let's say take a ball, throw the ball to the air. Since you're going against the nature of the ball's nature is to fall to the earth. So in order to push the ball against its nature, you have to have a constant force. If you want to take a piece of silver and turn it into a silver cup, it doesn't need a constant force because the silver could become a cup. It's not against its nature. If you want to take a piece of wood and turn it into a table, it doesn't need a constant force. A piece of wood could become a table. But if you want to take a ball, throw it to the air, since gravity brings the ball down, to make the ball go in the air, you're making something novel, something new happen to the ball, something that goes against its nature, you have to have a constant force. So that's just when you make a slight change in nature. If you make a whole world, everything in this world is brand new, it was created from nothingness, and Hashem brought the world out of non-existence to existence, so it can't continue to exist by itself. There has to be a constant force keeping it here. We're the ball, And Hashem throws us, we have to, he has to just be a constant force logically, otherwise why wouldn't the world revert to back to nothingness? That's what it says in Tanya. And the Altarev explains that at length, deeply. It's a very good thing to learn. It opens your horizon, understand a little bit more about what's going on in the world, in divine providence, to learn Tanya. But the Rebbe asks the question. All of that makes sense if Hashem is logical, if Hashem is limited to logic. But Hashem created logic. Hashem is not limited to logic. Hashem wants us to know him. But the Rebbe said, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of why Hashem recreates the world every second? He doesn't have to create the world every second. Logic says so. Hashem chooses to create the world every second. There are many reasons, but the Rebbe told this person one reason, a very, very powerful reason. The Rebbe said, if a Baal Tshuva will come, if someone who makes a step towards his Judaism will come and say, I don't want to live anymore because I made so many mistakes, I've hurt so many people, I have no idea how I can start over again. So the Rebbe says, therefore Hashem creates the world every single moment to tell you that the world you're living in now is a brand new world that was never here before. You're living in a brand new world. This world wasn't here before. All the mistakes that that happened were in the old world. This world that you're living in right now is a brand new world. So all the doors are open for you. Nothing is in your way. And this is what Hashem gives us on Shabbos. People think Shabbos is very restrictive. Very restrictive. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's terrible, you can't do this, you can't do that. But is it really restrictive? Those only people who haven't really experienced it think it's restrictive. If you've experienced it, you know it's not restrictive. When Hashem created the world, it says in the Torah, Hashem finished creating the world by Echal Elokim. When did Hashem finish creating the world? On? Survey says, anybody? You'd think it's Yom Shishi in the sixth day. That's when Hashem finished creating the world. But that's what it says. What do we say in Kiddush? Vayechal Elokim, Vayom, Ashvi. Hashem finished creating the world on the seventh day. But why does it say the seventh day when he finished in the sixth day? He didn't create the seventh day. The sixth day he stopped. So Rashi explains, and the Talmud explains, that the world was missing something. And Hashem created this thing that the world was missing on Shabbos. What was the world missing that Hashem created on Shabbos? It was missing rest. It was missing rest. But what does that mean? It was missing rest. Hashem created rest. Rest is a negative thing. Rest means you're not doing something. So Hashem created rest. What does that mean? So the answer is that, yes, the resting on Shabbos, all the things we're not allowed to do are in order to create a space for us to do something. What are we supposed to do on Shabbos? To connect to who we are, to connect to who we really are. Let's think about this for a second. When parents have a child, right? Before they have the child, you ask the parents, are you going to love your child? And they say, of course I'm going to love my child. What if your child is going to be a ganif? You still love your child? You think your child is going to be a wonderful, wonderful person, a scholar, a kind person, amazing. What if he's not so kind?
What's a
ganif? A ganif is a thief. What if your child's a horse thief? You know, you still going to love your child? And what do the parents say? The parents say, oh, of course we'll love our child. Are you kidding? It's our child. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's part of us. We love him because he's part of us. So Hashem tells us, each of us, we're Hashem's child. And when do we feel that? When does that? When Hashem show that to us? When do we experience this closeness with Hashem on Shabbos? It says in Nehemiah, a very powerful verse, you'd think, right, the golden calf happens. You'd think that night when the golden calf happens, the cloud goes away. Think that night the golden calf happens, no more bread from heaven, right? No more water coming out of the rock, right? It says in Nehemiah, that even when you did the golden calf, Hashem said, the cloud stayed above your heads and the water still came out of the rock. It's not a normal thing. It's not a logical thing. It's something otherworldly that Hashem gives to us, this kind of closeness. And this is the purpose of Hashem giving us the Shabbos. It's in order to feel all this emptiness people have. Where does emptiness come from? You know, there's a word we use, people who break Shabbos. What's the word that's used for people who break Shabbos? Mechalel Shabbos. What's mechalel Shabbos mean? They desecrate the Shabbos. They treat Shabbos as mundane. But you know what the word chalel also means? The root of the word chalel? Rekanut. Emptiness. Emptiness. A person doesn't have Shabbos, they feel empty. Because they have no time to experience who they are. They have no time to connect to their soul. It's not that we can't do stuff on Shabbos. Let me try to explain it again.
Near die.
In warfare, there is... In olden times, there were two things. There were swords and there were bows and arrows, right? So when you use a sword, you can only reach so far. When you use a bow and arrow, you can reach very far. But what you have to do in order to reach very far to pull all the way to you. You pull all the way to you, then it can reach very far. In order for us to go the whole week and to function and to feel good, it's very important how we feel about ourselves. Very important how we feel, don't we feel alone, that we feel someone's holding our hand. Where do we get that from? When do we Jew? We Jew, we connect to our Jewishness, we connect to Hashem's love for us. The day of love, Hashem, day of the soul, the Zohar says, the day of the soul is Shabbos. And so when we stop to work on Shabbos, it's not that we're empty now. On the contrary, that's what fills us the whole week. That's why every day, how do we start off our day? In the daily song that we say every morning, today is the first day of Shabbos. Today is the second day of Shabbos. Today is the third day of Shabbos. What is it of Shabbos? It's that Shabbos is what a Jew is. Shabbos reveals who you are. Who are you? You're a part of Hashem, and someone cares about you, and you're not walking by yourself. Someone's holding your hand. When do you connect to that? When do you feel that in Shabbos? And Shabbos, as the Zohar says, my name is Baruch Kulu Yemin, it blesses all the days of the week. It empowers every day of the week. You also feel something of what you felt on Shabbos. And this is what Mashiach is about. Mashiach is about that we're going to feel every day our deepest and realest self. That's why Mashiach comes and says, every day be like Shabbos. And if we prepare for Mashiach, we got to get in touch every week with Shabbos and live every day with Shabbos.
I hope it's not every day like Shabbos, because I like using my phone, so that would really suck if I didn't use my phone.
Let's say this spiritually. Spiritually, okay. We're going to feel the closeness of Hashem and Shabbos.
I'll take it.
Any questions or comments or criticism, tomatoes or cucumbers?
Can we talk about the 19-year Kiddush?
In Kiddush?
Yeah, what was that? What's that all about?
One stop on the journey was for 19 years.
Why was it 19 years, though? Why was it that long?
I could just guess. I don't know. I'll make the same guess that when I was in third grade. In third grade, I guessed that the name of the place was Kaddish, which means holy. It's a holy place. So you wanted to like really absorb the holy place.
For 19 years.
This is my third. I said this 19 years ago when I was in third grade. But a little longer than that. So anyways, but I don't have any better insights. And I never study anymore about that. I don't know. Good question. Any questions?